It's Brother Hansen from Truth Life Ministries here in Lakeside, Arizona. It's good to be here with you today. We're going to get right into our study in the Patriarchs. Yesterday we mentioned the book of Ezra, and we're going to get into Ezra's book. According to the book that bears his name, Ezra was a priest and a scribe and a scholar of the text and the commandments of the Lord and his statutes for Israel. Ezra 7:11. He held a high position in the Persian court, apparently responsible for overseeing the conduct of the Jews, although Ezra had grown up among the Jewish exiles in Babylon. He followed closely the affairs of those who had returned to their homeland, distressed by reports of moral disintegration in Jerusalem. Ezra won permission from the king to go there to institute broad reforms. And Artaxerxes issued a royal warrant giving Ezra the right to instruct Jews on the law and in religious and official matters. The king further decreed all who will not obey the law of your God and the law of the king, let judgment be strictly executed on them, whether for death or for banishment or for confiscation of their goods or for imprisonment. That's in Ezra 7 and verse 26. Armed with these impressive powers and transporting a treasury of silver and gold, Ezra and some 1,500 families from 12 clans left Babylon for Jerusalem. The long trek began in the seventh year of King Artaxerxes, Ezra 7:7. A reference that dates the mission either to 458 BC during the reign of Artaxerxes or the first, or else 397 BC in Artaxerxes II, the time of number two, Artaxerxes. Even though the travelers would doubtless encounter many dangers on the road to Jerusalem, Ezra did not ask for an armed guard for fear that the request might imply he lacked trust in God's protection. 4 months later, the party safely reached Jerusalem. The treasure was deposited with the priests in the newly built temple, and the returned exiles offered sacrifices. Then Ezra presented his royal warrant to the local authorities, and some officials approached him with the grievous report of widespread intermarriage among Jews and foreigners. Some of the worst offenders were highly placed officials and nobles. Thus, the Holy Seed has mixed itself with the peoples of the lands, Ezra 9 and verse 2. Distraught at hearing this news, Ezra tore his garments and pulled hair from his head and beard. That evening he prayed on behalf of the people, "For our iniquities have risen higher than our heads, and our guilt has mounted up to the heavens." That's Ezra 9 and verse 6. Determined to restore the Jews' religious and ethnic identity, Ezra ordered all men of the region to attend a meeting at the temple compound. Amid a driving rain, he accused the assembly of treason and ordered those among them who had married non-Jewish women to dissolve that union. Can you imagine? This is quite a command, isn't it? He ordered them. First he accused them of treason, and ordered those among them who had married non-Jewish women to dissolve that union. He appointed a commission to investigate the mixed marriages, and after 3 months, the people gave a solemn undertaking to divorce their wives, a testament to Ezra's persuasiveness and prestige. And several months later, during the festival of Thanksgiving known as the Feast of Booths, Ezra enthralled the people by reading aloud the Mosaic Law, probably a version of the Pentateuch that was collated during the exile. The account of the reading in Nehemiah 8 and verse 1 to 12 is the earliest mentioned in the Bible of a copy of the Torah residing in Jerusalem. Over the next 8 days, Ezra continued to read and interpret the Torah while attending Levites. Priests translated the original Hebrew scripture into the more familiar Aramaic. Now, many among Ezra's audience had never before heard the law or had long forgotten it, and they wept with emotion. Ezra told them not to mourn, but to rejoice, for this day is holy to our Lord. That's in Nehemiah 8 and verse 10. Ezra emphasized the importance of the Torah and affirmed the identity of his people, no longer defined by nationality alone. Jews belong to a community bound by strict adherence to the law. Now, this is an interesting story, this book of Ezra. Now, in 539 B.C., King Cyrus of Persia had conquered Babylon, defeating King Nabonidus without a struggle. One of Cyrus's first deeds as leader of the empire had been to issue a decree. He would allow all peoples exiled in Babylon, including Jews, to resettle in their homelands and to restore their houses of worship. In the years that followed, the exiled Jews slowly returned to Jerusalem in groups. Among the last to return were Ezra, with the support of King Artaxerxes, and Nehemiah. The portion of Cyrus's decree pertaining to the release of the Jews is recorded in Ezra 1 and verses 2 to 4 and 6 verses 3 to 5. The decree is also commemorated on a 10-inch long clay artifact known as the Cyrus Cylinder. You've probably heard of it. That dates from 538 BC and was found at the site of ancient Babylon in 1879. An inscription written in Akkadian, the official language of Persia, encircles the cylinder and reads in part, "I resettled all the gods of Sumer and Akkad, which Nabonidus had moved to Babylon unharmed in their former places to make them happy, and I endeavored to repair their
dwelling places. This Cyrus cylinder. And you know, this is this just reaffirms me that the accuracy of the Bible. Not somebody that wants to nitpick at it, but to find this archaeological discovery is real. This amazes me. It's amazing. Now, that sums up our story about Ezra when he read the law. And that's in Ezra emphasized the importance of the Torah and affirmed the identity of his people. This was actually his message to purify the Jewish race, actually the Jewish people, and don't intermarry in with the infidels and all of the others that they did in intermarry. Now, so we're going to study the books of, we're going to enter into the books of Ruth, Jonah, and Esther as we turn and look at a few of those. And we'll do this tomorrow, actually, and the some of these other Old Testament patriarchs. Go to our website, krciradio.com. Shoot us an email. Let us know you're listening. And write to us, KRCI Radio, Box 424, Lakeside, Arizona, 85929. Call us at 928-368-6766. Till tomorrow's broadcast, Brother Hansen saying, study, show yourself approved to God.